Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And as always, I have a question for you. Are you ready to try something different? Can you carve out some time to be present with this content? I hope so. Because in today's podcast and post, I'm going to give you a guided tour into my own contemplative practice. We'll journey from our chair, through our breath, into our naked being whose center is everywhere and circumference is nowhere. Join me now as I serve as your concierge of sacred space and lead you into your own contemplative experience while I point out a few things along the way. Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for coming back and for making time for today's podcast. I'll tell you, this is going to be a little outside the usual, okay? I've told you in the previous post called What is Contemplation? What we're going to do today. So if you did not hear the first one, I invite you to go back and listen to it. It really does give you a framework for what this experience is all about. And my hope today is for you to have an experience. This will be sort of like a guided meditation. However, it will be kind of your own journey. You will find yourself kind of fading in and fading out along the way, which is very common. I don't want you to stress about that. If any point in this journey you feel like you're getting lost, you're confused, you don't understand what might be happening, you feel deep feelings emerging, you get squirmy, you want to leave, you want to turn it off, all of those things are normal. I would encourage you to try and sit with it, but if you don't want to, if it's not comfortable, if it doesn't feel right, just open your eyes and go about your life. You can always come back to this. For those of you who think this is going to be a little weird, try and warm your hands to someone else's fire. Please do not make an assumption about what you are about to hear. Do not conclude, oh, I've done these things before. The framework from which I work from, I believe, is truly unique from so many different people out there. And I have heard a vast, diverse range of Christian speakers, theologians, contemplatives, mystics, Hebrew, Hindu, Buddhist, Sikh, Islam. I have really tried to warm my hands to everybody's fire to see and mine the depths of what some of those are offering. This goes back to Eastern mystics. This goes back to the Puritans. This goes back to things. And I will weave into this experience doctrine, teaching, pointing things out where I can, where the Spirit illuminates it. I really don't know how this is going to look. I don't know how long this is going to take. My guess is it's going to be at least 45 minutes to an hour. So my ask from you is to be present, to be here now, to be open, to be willing to see where this goes. Make sure you have some time where you can close your eyes, where you can rest, be still, where you can sit comfortably. If you need to take it in a couple of sections, that's fine. I just don't know how easily it will be to regain where you left off. You can try it. You know, if it works, let me know. But this is simply an invitation. Take it or leave it. This is not comprehensive. This is not all there is. This is not a how to. This is not a, this is what you should do. This is simply something that was inspired deep within me. It was so dark. I took a picture of the moon out, and you'll see it in my blog post. I think it was about 5:15 in the morning. It was pitch black, but the moon was right on the horizon. It was beautiful. I had this contemplative time of prayer. And in this journey, I was like, I really wish I could bring my audience in here with me. And I heard what seemed like a very loud voice say, "Why don't you?" And so this is simply my attempt to do so. So I hope you'll receive it in the heart that it's given. And let's see where this goes. Okay? So to kind of set the framework then, like I said, I get up early. I usually get up about 4:30 to 5:30, although lately it seems like I'm getting up closer to 6. But usually it's around that 5 o'clock morning. I make a cup of coffee. On weekends, I make a really good cappuccino. And I head out back to my back porch. I have a set of Adirondack chairs that sit underneath the stars. If it's cold, I wrap up in a blanket. Like, I will sit out there all the way down to 10, 15 degrees, so long as it's not raining or snowing. I can wrap up and be very comfortable, and I love the cool air. I just love the mornings. I love the blue light as dawn emerges. And so what I do is I sit comfortably upright. An Adirondack chair is kind of a leaning back chair. But I invite you to sit comfortably as well, upright. I usually have my feet on the ground. I usually cross them at my ankles. That's just kind of how I am. I took a little picture of me under my blanket with my feet crossed, and you can kind of see. It's very unspectacular. It's very normal. I don't live in some oasis. I live in Suburbopolis out in the back. But I sit there with my hands folded, and I invite you to do so. I sit there with my head slightly bowed, and I invite you to do so to the degree that it's comfortable. Now, I close my eyes. And at the Living School, where I kind of learned some of these practices of contemplation, we always began our contemplation with Psalm chapter 46, verse 10, which says, "Be still and know that I am God." And then they would basically take off one word each time and say, "Be still and know that I am. Be still and know that I," all the way down to just be. And then they would ring a bell, and that would kind of bring us into this contemplative space. And the verse of Psalm 46, verse 10, continues by saying, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And so there's something about this beginning point, which I think is really important. It sets the course for whether you're going to do a meditation or whether you're going to do a contemplation. "Be still and know that I am God, for I will be exalted in the earth." Sit still. Consider that you are in the presence of your Maker. Also know that every human being that has ever existed is also in this presence of the Maker, whether our consciousness is of it or not. And when we endeavor to do this practice, we exalt our Maker. We go down and He is lifted up. And this seems like the fitting posture for a spiritual practice to me. And I've participated in other practices which turn meditation into a breathing exercise, or where they've taken God out of it and just made it into a life hack for yourself. And that feels like a ripoff. I feel like I can never get my 20 minutes back when I'm on the Calm app. I feel like it's an adulteration of something sacred, which I'm inviting you into. And that might scare you a bit. Maybe you don't see yourself as the religious type. Maybe you don't see yourself as having much, if any, relationship with your maker, with God. And so this idea of coming into sacred space, one, you're skeptical, and two, you might be a little nervous. I want you to know that you don't need to be. Just come as you are. And as you'll see, I don't believe we are the subject nor the object of this practice. Okay? We are going to move beyond a subject-object dynamic and try to access something that exists every moment of every day, but we miss it. We skim over the depth of life. So as we begin, be still and know that I am God. With your hands folded comfortably, your head comfortably and slightly bowed, the posture in your head and in your heart, ready to receive, your feet comfortable in a resting place, let us begin by praying Jesus' prayer. Let's bow our hearts and pray. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And let us become aware of our breath. Inhale and hold it. And exhale. Sit and be still. Inhale and rest. And exhale. And you find the rhythm that works for you. If you need a faster breath, take it. If you need a slower breath, take it. Just breathe in, breathe out. Notice that breath is inspiration and expiration. And breathing is more than an autonomic response. This is not your central nervous system just doing its thing right now, because we're conscious. We're focusing on our breath. We are using our breath to ground us into our humanity. But this word pneuma is the word for breath. It's also the word for wind. It's also the word for spirit. And so as breathing becomes a conscious endeavor, our air transforms into spirit. As you become aware, you are taking spirit in and you are breathing spirit out. So I invite you to keep with this rhythm. You will naturally breathe on your own, but regain your consciousness to the breath. Remember, it's not so much an autonomic response as it is mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. You are existing by the breath of God, breathing His Spirit into you, His life-giving Spirit. And we can reflect on the words of Jesus, where He said in John chapter 6, verse 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all." Breathe that in. The Spirit gives you life. The Spirit of God gives you life. The flesh is no help at all. Paul said, to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So as you're breathing in, and as you're breathing out, let us set our minds on the Spirit that is giving us life. Thank you for life. Thank you for peace. So as we inhale, we will invite the Holy Spirit to attend this moment. Come, Holy Spirit. Breathe your Spirit into us. Let us take you into us. Let us be conscious of the life that you give us. Breathe in life and peace. Breathe in life and peace. And breathe out any preoccupation of your mind. Breathe it out. Let it go. Breathe in life and peace. And let whatever it is go. Life in, not now, out. Peace in, let go. Breathe in the Holy Spirit. Father, we ask to be drawn into this eternal moment with God, our Father, our Maker. Reveal to us Logos, the Word. Reveal to us Sophia, wisdom. Draw us into this eternal moment, timelessness. May we breathe out anything that hinders this divine flow. Now we feel this flow. We're taking in love and we're releasing anything that pops in our mind. A thought pops in your mind, breathe it out. Something else comes up, pay no attention, just let it go and breathe it out. A feeling of being uncomfortable or unworthy or unclean is common. Breathe it out. Sit, be present. Repeat this exercise of consciously breathing in the spirit of life and peace and breathing out worry. Breathe out your fear. Breathe in life and breathe out unworthiness. Breathe out anger. That might take a few breaths. Some of these words are linked to life experiences which need your attention. Breathe out hatred. Breathe in life. Breathe in grace. Breathe in the love of God and let go of your sense of uncleanness. Let us continue this cleansing breath, taking in something beautiful and loving and releasing it, exchanging it for something unwanted. This happens every day with oxygen, which we need, and carbon dioxide, which we don't. And so the breath is the perfect place for us to center and ground ourselves to this spiritual transaction, where God would breathe life and peace in, and we would surrender any grasp of anything unwanted. Let it go. It's time. It's time. Fully exhale. Let it all off. Breathe it all the way out. Take a full deep breath. Breathe all of the love in that is within your capacity to do so. Shed off it all. Shed anything whatsoever that would prevent you or me from this experience of what the author of The Cloud of Unknowing calls our naked being. You are taking it off. You are shedding it off. You are letting it go. And just being who you are without anything wrapped around you, without anything clinging to you, or simply existing, as Kierkegaard would say, transparently grounded before God. We're hiding nothing. There is nothing to hide. You could not possibly hide anything. that thing that you're ashamed of, that secret you've repressed, that horrible event that happened. It's right here. And it's time for you to let it go. It is not you. It has attached itself to you. Stop hiding. Stop pretending. Be open to receive. Breathe in life and breath and everything. This is life. Right here, right now. Let's continue this breathing as our consciousness deepens to our existence. All of those things that you thought were you aren't you, but you and me are now sustained in our existence and gaining awareness that God's presence is closer to us than we are to ourselves. Sit in that moment. I need you to be okay in the stare of God. Head bowed, heart bowed. In spirit, we breathe in God's existence. We take in his life, his breath, his everything. It is our existence. If we were to breathe out and never take in another breath, we wouldn't just be breathing out. It'd be the beginning of our death. Without the spirit breathing life and peace into us, we do not exist. Our existence is the existence of God manifesting itself in and as our life. It is our true identity. This is our true self. All the things that you think you have to do, all the things your mind is telling you to go do, all those other things, the emails piling up, the phone calls you got to get back to, the this, the at, the other, the list. It's not you. This moment, this breath, this place, this is who you are. And only your maker can name you. And he's called you beloved. Take in the awareness that you are beloved. And do not shrug it. Do not denounce it. Do not deny it. None of us are perfect. Oh Lord, if you kept track of sin, who among us could stand before you? Yet he loves you. His grace abounds. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. You are the beloved. That is your name. That is who you are. That is your true self. That is who God has named you and me to be. Breathe in belovedness. Let the belovedness displace any sense that we are not worthy of it. Breathe out being loved. Breathe out love. Try. Give it back. Take in this love, this grace, this peace, and complete the circuit and send it back. And if tears come, it's not tears of pain, it's tears of beauty, because it's what you've longed for your whole life. And now you are in the divine flow. Love in and love out. Breathe in, I love you, because he does. And breathe out, I love you too, because you can. I would say in the anonymous work of the Way of the Pilgrim that this is that place in our prayer when we get to feeling and conducting the I love you, where the strategy of the Jesus prayer is most used. You may not feel like you can say, I love you back. It seems like there's a resistance inside. In such a case, your prayer is this. You breathe in, I love you. because God does love you, whether you receive it or not. And you breathe out, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Breathe in, I love you. And breathe out, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. In this moment, you can simply ask to have mercy on you. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one here. As we work through this breath, as we have this experience, as we make this flow complete, the circuit of love, the darkness of having our eyes closed, you may start having a sense of utter blackness. I often pay attention to the fact that it's dark, but even among the darkness of my eyes closed in the dark, there are little patches of darkness that are darker still. And if our blackened field of vision, we see these, I would ask you to reflect on Solomon's dedication of the temple where he says, the Lord is pleased to dwell in thick darkness. And so darkness might be a metaphor that you're uncomfortable with, but the biblical revelation is that you can look into that darkness, and that is where God is pleased to dwell. Now, Paul reminds us that we are that temple now. That means that God is pleased to dwell within you, within this thick darkness that you perceive with your eyes closed as you take in life and peace. We have become the inner chamber of the temple, the Holy of Holies. God is not out there, up there, over there, down there. God is in here. God is closer to you than you are to you. And this exercise is to bring you into that dynamic flow. No, you are not God, nor will you ever be. But the invitation from God is that you and God will not be other than each other through his grace. And you may experience something like the feel of falling. If you have your eyes closed and you kind of feel as your body is disoriented, maybe like you feel like your chair is tilting on its side, or like your neck is turning, or like you're falling backwards, or the floor is moving, just receive it. Stay present. I know that in my early days, this is a point where a lot of people kind of unhitch. They open their eyes. They try and use some bearings to kind of reorient themselves. And if you need to, that's fine. But I would encourage you to just fall. Stay present. Breathe in. Receive. Go into the darkness. Let your mind and body and spirit reorient itself to spiritual reality. So what's happening is your body, along with your mind and spirit now, are sort of uncoupling. Your body, flesh and blood, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But your mind and your spirit can, and they can do so now. And so there is this sense of uncoupling that needs to take place. And so I invite you to try and press through that if you can. Receive it if it comes. And if it doesn't come, don't worry about it. It's really vital to not try and re-ground yourself in your everyday physical body. Don't seek to regain control in the body. Just notice what's happening. Just pay attention to it. And I encourage you to do what Kierkegaard would call a leap of faith, a trust fall into the dark. For me, I often feel like I'm falling backward into a bottomless abyss. And I know that imagery sounds scary or even evil, but it's not. It's the gateway to an experience of divine union. That falling into the darkness is you surrendering all things to the boundless, bottomless abyss of God and His love and grace for you. So as you surrender to the darkness and to the falling, it only is temporary. You're going to land. It will stop. The disorientation will stop. The darkness may bring forth colors. And for me, it's always blue. It's small little blips of brilliant blue, kind of moving rhythmically, fading in and fading out in your field of vision as your eyes are closed. You might see little colors kind of flickering on and off. If you don't worry about it. There's no one right way. You're not missing anything. But if you do have colors, just notice them. Because as the color fades in and out, whether it's going with the rhythm of our brainwave, whether it's something happening on our optic nerve, whether it's happening physically or whatever, there's something here that takes you away from thought. And for me, the blueness starts to emerge, starting as little tiny dots that fade in and fade out. You barely perceive them until I see a blue dot that kind of comes in. Oh, it's really blue, and then it goes away. Until finally the falling stops and the blue takes over the whole sky. It is as if I've landed on my back looking up at a Colorado bluebird sky. My eyes are closed, and this has happened in the darkest of dark rooms. So there can't be light coming through to create this. This is something that happens. And if it's happening to you, great. If it's not, great. Do not worry about it. You're not missing anything. Your darkness is complete. It lacks nothing. This is the moment where you lack nothing. Everything belongs. Breathe in grace and breathe out praise until the falling has stopped and you find yourself in a resting place, okay? This is really an important transition, okay? Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3 says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. I want you to sit with this. Yeah, He restores my soul. Breathe in love and breathe out. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. Breathing in the Spirit now, it really does align us, our inner self, to our body. This is where the practice of healing will take place. So if in your life you've always prayed for healing, if there's something in your life that you need God to attend to, this is where that takes place. You breathe the healing practice in, and you breathe the corruption, the hurt, the pain out. This is your practice. Healing is not an event, it is a practice. We who are hidden in Christ and found in God can speak healing to our bodies. You speak the healing to your body. Speak the healing to your body. Breathe in the love and the grace and the healing power of God as He generously, graciously gives it to you with each breath. And breathe out healing words. Restores my soul. He restores my body. He's giving me life. He restores my life. I restore life to the broken part. I restore love and mercy to the painful part. I restore joy to the sad part. In the stillness of the green pasture, our consciousness becomes aware that Christ is praying with us, for us, inviting us into the prayer and divine union he prayed for his disciples. Breathe in. Stay present. Stay in the darkness. Stay with the colors or the blue or whatever it is. The falling has stopped. We are resting, embedded firmly, safely in with Christ at our back. We are in Christ. We have landed on Christ. We cannot see him as he is, or as we might imagine him to be. This experience for me is always, I land and I feel like I'm on a green pasture on the perfect summer day, and then I discover that I'm on Christ himself, and he's been praying for me. And I turn to try and see his face. I cannot. I can only feel him back to back. I don't know what your experience will be. This is my experience. I share it with you. I cannot experience him or see him as I imagine. I do know that he now is my keeper, as the psalmists say. He is my sustainer. He's brought me here. He has led me here. I have received his breath, his spirit, and now I belong. I belong here. You belong here. We are unknowing him right now. This is a gift of unknowing. And we are knowing our true self in him, the beloved. The love and the beloved together. It is Christ in us. And I think it helps to reflect on Jesus' prayer. In John chapter 17, before Jesus was crucified, he prayed this prayer with his disciples, but then he looked through the corridor of time as he asked the Father, and he prayed for you and me and all of us who are here. He said, I do not ask for these only, meaning his disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. And so as Christ is in God, so now we are in Christ, because he had prayed that for you and for me thousands of years ago. And now, that prayer is active right here, right now, in timelessness for us to receive. And so take in that prayer. I do not pray for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, so that we may all be one. Receive that inclusive offer. This stillness is the eternal moment where the shared divine union is possible. Here. Now. This is the eternal moment. It is possible if you're conscious, if you gain spiritual sight through practice, you will perceive, and perhaps you've already perceived them, every soul who has ever lived is among us. Every life that God has given is found in himself, surrounding him, through him. In the same way that we are in this moment, which never had a beginning and never has an end, we've passed through time into timelessness, and the multitudes are everywhere. Can you feel them? And stillness is a beautiful place. this resting place is beautiful. This is teleos. This is that word which means complete. It's perfect. It's authentic. It's real. This is heaven. It's come here. Jesus says, if I cast out Satan by the finger of God, behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. And behold, it is. This is where we can speak to loved ones who are now in Christ. They're here. They've always been here, just as you have always been here. That part of them that cannot be lost remains, along with that part of you that cannot be lost, that part that cannot be renamed. That before the foundations of the earth, God named you the beloved, and you are here with God in this flow, in this moment, unique in your authenticity, your teleos, aware. They're all healthy. They're all complete. They're listening. They're cheering. They're celebrating. They're praising, enjoying, waiting. All of this is captured in a blink. Don't measure the time. This is the timeless moment. Over time, you'll be able to stay as long as you want. But you may be tempted to overstay, to seek somebody out, to have a conversation. I can tell you, none of them will allow it. They're just going to laugh at how silly that idea is and ask you to regain your presence in Christ. Don't wander off. Don't let your mind go. I'm pointing this out in the spiritual realm so that when you come back, you can explore it if you will. We all have questions. And in this moment, the question is laughable. It's evaporated. Take some breaths. Okay. The scepter of the king has tilted towards us. What that means is it's time for our petitions. The grace of God is granting us a moment for the cry of our heart. I would just caution you. Be careful. As the Spirit brings forth the realities of our life, you're going to feel very much back in your chair, very much focused on what's to come today, tomorrow, next week, next year. You'll think of your relationships, good, bad, the problems, the strengths. You'll think of things you're grateful for. You'll think of things in need. Those physical things you need, like a job or rent or food or healing, we may now ask for God's intervention. Not unlike a Santa Claus can sit on his lap and ask him for whatever you will. But I caution you not to be like Henry Scudder said, a court jester blowing a feather in the presence of a king. You need to know he listens to every word. He cares deeply about every concern. But he sees things in a way that you and I do not see things. And so while he will definitely give you an answer, it may not be the one you seek, but it is one that you can trust. But he asks you to ask him. So do. Take this time and ask God for what's on your heart. Take the time. You may have a long list here. This may take the majority of your prayer. It may be a very short list. You may have one or two things that you really are important. Take this moment before God to ask whatever you will. I will be silent for a few moments so that you can do so. The next part is the hardest part for me. As we sit and we breathe in God's beauty and we breathe out our thankfulness, our gratitude, we breathe out our pain, we breathe out our hurt, we breathe out our petition, we take in over and over and over again the love of God, the grace of God, our name, beloved of God. I always get to this place where the scepter tilts back. I'm lovingly silenced. Though many things might be in my head or heart, my mouth is stopped. I can say no more. And when you get to this place where your words are stopped, our consciousness shifts from breath to darkness, to falling, to Christ, to stillness, and now consciousness itself is silenced. This is just darkness. It is pure being. Everything has been heard. Everything that you forgot to say is known. Nothing is missing from this moment. Everything is teleos. It's complete. It's authentic. It is real. We cannot add or take anything. Everything is full. Nothing is missing. It is time to be still. It is time to just be. This is the time of silence. I cherish this now, but at first in my experience, my silence moments would be very, very different. And I'm not sure where you're at, but I would get to this place in a contemplation and it would scare me. This sacred moment didn't seem holy to me. See, there's always an accuser in this space. You don't belong here. You don't belong here. What about that thing you did? What about that sin you never, ever, ever get over? What about that way you think? See, my mind activated. I would just get squirmy. I'd get restless. Maybe you're feeling it. All of a sudden, my daily agenda became important. There's deep, lost feelings pressing through, bubbling to the surface. Like, these are not happy. These are not comfortable. This doesn't feel holy. This is uncomfortable. It's a form of torment. A fear of being found out, a scourge that love has silenced in me. I encourage you, please stay here now. Take it. Receive it. We are being purified. There's nothing to say. You can't, there's no defense. Receive and feel all the consuming fire's heat. Like I said, in the early days, this is where I would get up and leave. I'd literally get an itch, a pain, or a reason, and I'd hit the eject button, open my eyes, reorient, and get out. And my recommendation is to stay in this spirit. Let the fire do its work. Like St. John of the Cross said about the piece of wood, it's being turned into the fire. You and I, like the wood, all that needs to be burned will be consumed as we are to be consumed into this fire. We are turning into the fire, and like the wood given to the fire, when we give ourselves to the fire of God in contemplation, there is not much of us that will be left. Let it go. Let it burn. But we will be transformed by the fire into the fire. That's the design. Surrender. And there's a million things we think we want in life, but I assure you, this moment, this transformation by fire, this is what we truly want. If you go through life and miss this, you've lost. Sit here. Breathe in. Be still. Receive. Let the accusations fly. Just sit with them. Receive them. Own it. Sit with the scourge of silence until it's silent again. The accuser cannot outlast you. Breathe in the mercy and grace of God. Breathe out your praise to God. Repeat. Breathe in the mercy and grace of God and breathe out your praise to God. Repeat. Keep doing it. Breathe in grace. Breathe out praise. Be here now. Don't be the court jester blowing the feather. Don't dilly-dally. Be still and know that I am God. Sit still. Surrender the outcome completely. If it feels like you're ruined, it's because it is. Discover who you truly are on the other side of this uncomfortable process. The part on the first side is to be ruined. That's not who you are. You need to become who you are on the other side. Let the first part die. Let the false part die. This is where confession comes. Just own it all. Own every act, every evil thought. Admit to every idle moment. Confess your love of sin. Drop the fig leaf. Stop hiding, pretending. It's futile anyway. Get really, really honest. Inhale healing and restoration, and exhale, empty it all with every exhaling breath. Give it all. Lay every piece down. Lay down every burden. Breathe it all out as you breathe in new life and grace and love. Receive it. It's so good. Then I return to silence. There's literally nothing to confess anymore. It's all out there. This is the safest place and the safest moment in all existence. And you are loved, you are forgiven, and you are found in God. A few more moments of breath of your naked existence before God. So, in the manner that this opened, this prayer, this experience, this journey into the eternal moment, so now it is going to fade. The eternal moment is not endless purging. It's not a beatdown forever. It's just a bath which allows us to put on our wedding garment and be seated. This is where deep stillness sets in. Revelations 8:1 says, when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And we are one of the multitude now surrounding the throne in that moment, which is now. We're not reading about a group that is somewhere in the future. The group is here. The group is you. The group is now. We are in that silent moment because we are all in God. We are in Christ, and there is no more time. So stay still. Stay quiet. Stay in the no thing. God is not an object. God is a subject. The silence is not a vacuum. It's not a void. It is full. Silence is pregnant with spiritual seeing. And it's a gift to you. It's now my favorite part of this practice, the spiritual seeing. I invite you to stay here as long as you have the stamina to do so. Stay in this moment, this multitude surrounding a throne that is deathly silent. Stay as long as you can. Return here as often as you can. Until you're forced to transition back into your breath, back into your chair, back into your body and the physical life. And so if you've been participating with me, I would like to invite you to open your eyes now. What do you perceive? You know, when I open my eyes, everything appears fictional. It's kind of like when you go to Epcot Center and you visit one of those global cities. It looks exactly like the city, but you know it's not the city. The world is kind of translucent. I can kind of see life in and through all things. I look at trees and I feel like I can see them breathing. Everything seems crisper, cleaner, clearer. It's like I have spiritual sight. The windshield has been cleaned. Beauty and flow are much more visible. I feel so much more than okay. Like, I'm now, I'm centered, I'm forgiven, I'm beloved, I can see, I'm living in a body that I myself will ultimately transcend by millions of years. There will be a time, which I just visited, where I will look back and say, I remember I had a body that was sick or broken or hurt. But now I have an eternal body and I dwell in this place, in this community of others around the throne, worshiping a powerful God. What a perspective. Like, you don't have to worry about what heaven is. You've just got back from there. You know what's coming. What a gift. And I can see the silly entrapments of myself and others as I drive down the road and I look at the others driving down the road. Like, we have to kind of ask for grace to uphold this perspective as long as we can, lest at the next traffic light or the beginning of the next song, I lose my bearings and I'm lost again. And as we go out into the world, we can now live from this place. We can live from heaven. Heaven has come to the earth through Christ, through you. In you and in me. It's amazing. And I feel like I can be part of the healing of others in this world. I feel like I'm inspired to do so. I feel like there's hope again. If others can just have this perspective and this experience, I know it'd be different. I don't know about you, but I feel like my petitions and my prayers are heard. They're considered. They're not lost. My prayer is not bouncing off the ceiling. They are in process. They will not be dropped. Neither will yours. I'm so confident of that. And from this place, I in my morning, I turn and I open the scripture. I read the words of contemplatives and Puritans and poets and mystics and theologians, and we're all seeking that which is beyond everything. This logos, this sophia, that which weaves its way in and through each of them and through each of our moments in each of our lives through thousands of years. And it finds a message of redemption and love that I am privileged to witness through the pages. And I'm motivated to share with you for zero cost to you other than your time. And from this Lectio Divina, I sit on my Monday mornings and I write my blog. And my blog becomes my podcast. And on Sunday, people all over the world find this content, just as you have. They find a new perspective which grows their faith and leads them to their own healing and redemption and their own story. And I'm privileged to be just this tiny little part of that. But I can testify to you, the track record here is real. I'm a nobody, I'm a nothing, but what comes through this microphone is so powerful. It's not me, it's the power of God. And it is restoring the lives of everyone who hears and applies it. So now after 12 years, we are a big virtual family here of people just like me and you who are healed, we're redeemed, we're in the story of redemption, we're in the process of restoration, we are empowered. I praise God for the gift of contemplative practice. And now you know mine. Not every day is this long and not every day is this deep, and I don't go to every corner of every room every day, and I have only scratched the surface for you because we're limited in time and we only have the physical stamina for so long. But I invite you to enter yourself and to share with me your experience. so that I can see God from your perspective too. Please write me if you have any questions or if you want to set up a call. I'd love to hear from you. And as always, God bless you as you contemplate these things.